Scripture lesson this morning is Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15, found on page 853 in your pew Bible. When the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray, the disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. This ends the scripture reading.
Every once in a while, I think he likes a short one. One with no Bible names. So, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed soccer. I don't know, any other soccer players in the room? Okay, I'm alone on that one. All right, that's okay. That's all right. I'm sure you guys had things you enjoyed, right? What were some of the fun games you played when you were a kid? Football, okay. Baseball. Golf. Frisbee. Excellent. Jacks. Okay, yeah. You know. Sure, lots of fun games, right? You can remember the fun that you probably had with the kids playing up and down your block, right? And it was a good time, but this was also the time in your life where you learned how to play fair, right? More than once, probably somebody went home yelling, "So-and-so cheated," or, you know, "That's not fair," right? You know, and somebody was either yelling that at you, or you yelled it at someone else. We learn through games as children, and we as adults sometimes look at kids playing, but there is also an element of that's how kids learn the best is through play, and we've all played a number of games. I know, I said I played soccer, and I know that some of my best memories as a kid, all the way from kindergarten through high school, some of my best memories were either in practice or in a soccer game. It's just a great, great time, and kids understand intuitively that play has to be a part of life. Kids understand at a deep level that play is just what they were made for, and at some point, we grow up, right? At some point, we grow up, and there's this piece of scripture that we look at today where Jesus has a bit of a confrontation with his disciples who are trying to keep little kids away from him, who are trying to keep the unimportant people away from him, who are trying to keep Jesus from wasting his time. And sometimes I think that's how we look at play. Sometimes I think that's how we look at having fun. Sometimes I think that's how we look at childlike behavior. And Jesus says something really important to us today. Unless you become like one of these kids, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. You're missing the kingdom of heaven. Does anybody here want to miss the kingdom of heaven? No. This is going to be one of those tough sermons for me because sometimes I like to be all about the work. I like to achieve in work, and Jesus is telling me specifically, and I'll let you decide whether Jesus is speaking to you today. We have to learn how to play. We have to learn to be a little bit more lighthearted. We have to learn that yes, we need to earn what we need to earn in order to feed ourselves and clothe ourselves and all of that. But guess what? Unless we become like little children, unless we become playful, we miss out. We miss out. And so we don't want to miss out. And here we have our series. And what I've done is, you know, I've said the life that you and I have been given, this moment in our entire lives are like precious gems, are like diamonds. It's the most precious gift that you've been given is life itself. And each of our lives has different aspects to it, different facets to it. Just like a diamond, our lives have different parts. And when a light shines through, a precious gem, if you've ever seen a light shining through a diamond, you can see how it splits the light and how different facets capture the light in different ways. And so the light in this case is God. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And we are the diamonds. We are the ones through whom the light flows and it's spread out and in different aspects of our lives. So last week we talked about work, and this week we're talking about play. And those two things are two sides to the same coin, right? Those are two facets of our lives. And my fear is that as adults, that play facet becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. I don't know, maybe, you know, I said that last week of the first service sermon and the second service sermon were going to be a little bit different because work is a little bit different to many people who are retired, and work is a little bit different to people who are in the midst of their career. But play. I think Jesus is saying we need to make some time for play. We need to make some time for joy in our lives. And so we're going to talk about this facet of play. The facet of play. You know, we're not just Christians here, but we're Americans. Any non-Americans in the room? Kind of, maybe, nope. So we're all Americans, and good Americans pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and go to work and earn our living, capitalists. But, sometimes I think we have to decide which comes first. Which comes first? Is capitalism actually our God? Because if it is, then play sort of becomes a useless distraction. Play, I think that at their hearts, the disciples were a little bit capitalistic, weren't they? They didn't want the useless people. They didn't want the distractions coming in while Jesus was doing his work. I think that the parable that Mr. Dickens told us about Ebenezer Scrooge resonates so well with us every single year, because at some point each of us recognizes a little bit of Scrooge in each of us. And we recognize that we need to come to the point where we need to play a little bit, where we can't just be about work. Playfulness leads to joy. And we were created to be joyful people. We were created to be joyful. This thing just keeps on slipping down today, Joel. I don't know what's going on, so sorry about that. I know, sorry. Have you seen has anybody seen the movie, the new number one movie? What is that? About the emotions inside our heads? Inside Out, right? right? And there's all the different emotions inside of our heads, and this is what this movie is about, right? All of our emotions inside of our heads, and joy is one of them. And then there's anger and fear and disgust and sadness, right? And we all experience all of these emotions. And joy, though, joy is right there. God created us for a life of joy. And we find that so often through play. But what did God make us to have joy in? See, we're supposed to have joy in the Lord. The little children were brought to Jesus, right? They were brought to Jesus. Now, I don't know what the parents were thinking. I don't know what the parents were thinking in this moment. My suspicion is that many of them had some sort of disease, but maybe they didn't need to be healed. Maybe it was just, we want our children to be close to Jesus. And they were determined to get past the disciples. They spent time doing other things that day, but they took time to take joy in Jesus. And I think the children were happy in that. I think that Jesus took a moment to be a little bit childlike with these children. And so, this is a word of caution about play. Although I think that we really need to emphasize being more playful. Just a little word of caution is that we need to have our primary joy in things that bring us closer to God. Our primary joy needs to be in things that bring us closer to God. Now, that can be anything, almost. That can be almost anything. But play is an amazing thing. Play, and I want for us to use our imaginations for just a little bit about this question, about what is godly play? What is godly play when Jesus is a part of our game? What is godly chutes and ladders? Or hungry hippos? Do they even still make those games? We're not quite at that point yet. But what is that like? What is godly euchre? Any other euchre fans out there? Okay. I just need to know who I need to invite over. Okay. You know, any other, you know, godly euchre or some other card game. You know, what's the other one I like? Cribbage. You know, those are fun. I love playing games. You know, I take joy in that. What are godly sports? What are godly sports? I remember this past spring, and for the past several springs, when baseball season starts up, I almost always see a picture somewhere of a sign posted on the baseball field to parents that say, this is not the major leagues, right? This is not the major leagues. The children are actually children, the coaches are volunteers, and the umpires are human beings, right? Sometimes I think we push the boundaries of what would happen if Jesus were the umpire. What if Jesus were at bat? If Jesus were the parent of the child on the opposing team? If Jesus were our child? What does godly play look like? What does godly play look like? How would Jesus play? How do you think Jesus would play? I don't have an answer to that question for you this morning. I just want you to take that question and wrestle with it this week. You know, how would Jesus play? And you want to take it one step further. How would Jesus play if Jesus was you? If Jesus was living your life? If what would Jesus do? How would Jesus play if Jesus were you? What games would he play, and how would he play them, and who would he play them with? How would Jesus play? And then I want to ask you this question. If you suddenly found Jesus in your circle of friends, would you play with him? Would you invite him to the table? Would you take joy in that moment? If Jesus were there, would you take joy? Would you pray with me? God, we want to be a people who are joyful. We want to be a people who take joy in you. And God, sometimes we get so caught up in the things that make us tired. We get so caught up in the things that are maybe necessary, but maybe we do too much of the needed things and we go past the point of being needful. And God, teach us to play. Teach us to take joy. Teach us to smile and to see you in the midst of joy and to bring others into that joy. God, may we be people with smiles on our faces because we know you and we know what it is to play in your fields. In your name we pray. Amen.